This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
My Bible.
I am
what it says I am. I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 9 and we've been looking at verse 29. It says, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, what? Be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. And we are teaching principles for faith development. And right now, we're in our fifth lesson. I'm not doing a great deal of reviews because I want to cover a lot of material in this lot of time. In the first lesson, we talked about the importance of faith. The second lesson, we began to talk about the faith process, the asking component. And then we talked about the believing component. And then the following lesson, we dealt with the confession component. And tonight, we're going to deal with the corresponding action component. Corresponding action. For every promise and every principle and for every prophecy, there is a faith process to bring it to pass. We have to respect the order of God and conform with the order of God in the operation of faith. So we understand that a lot will be determined relative to the development of my faith. Jesus says to the blind man in our text, the two blind men, he says, according to your faith, be it unto you. In other words, he's saying that the results they will get will be determined by the measure of their faith. So it is in our lives, the results that you're going to get, it's going to be determined by the development of your faith. Turn to Mark chapter 11. In Mark chapter 11, we see the classic teaching that Jesus has done on faith. The classic teaching on faith. We found out that it is proper to receive instructions on faith because faith does not come by osmosis. And faith, the Bible says, the disciples asked Jesus in Luke chapter 17. They asked him, Lord, increase our faith. And he began to instruct them in the operation of faith. So I understand that faith, that my faith is going to grow as I operate in faith. Now, Mark chapter 11, verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. We've looked at verse 24 and found that faith has a process, or there are some steps to releasing my faith. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles now to James chapter 2. The simple definition of faith now is acting on the word of God. It's really acting on what you believe. So Jesus instructs the disciples in faith, and it is plain to see that through the scripture, faith involves some kind of action. One action we've already looked at there in the scripture, there in verse 23, the action of confession, which we said and we taught on in our last session. But now we're going to look at other corresponding actions. Bible says, are you there in James? Amen. James chapter 2, check with your neighbor. I want to make sure everybody gets this. I think this is probably one of the most exciting lessons, points of faith to understand. Because if you get this and understand this, it puts you miles ahead in dealing with faith. All right? It says, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Amen. The Amplified says, for as the human body apart from the spirit is lifeless, so faith apart from its works of obedience is also dead. So I got to understand the importance of obedience in faith. The importance of obedience in faith. Now, in the body of Christ, there are several characteristics of faith that we want to look at. In the body of Christ, several characteristics. Of course, you know, there are some people who say, and I'll agree, that faith is not the only way to acquire things. Faith is not the only way to acquire things. You know, natural things. You know, some things at one time I had to release faith for, I don't have to release faith for now. Amen. 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 You know, at one time I had I had to believe, release faith, you know, for a car. I don't have to do that now. I can buy more.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. So there are some things as you grow, you know, and, you know, everybody don't come to the kingdom of God broke. Everybody got some rich folk get saved, so they don't have to really actually use their faith for things because they got them. But I like to make this statement. Just because you may have arrived at a no-need state through some unintentional means does not give you the right to deny me God's process to bring me to the same no-need state. Amen. Amen? Amen? So just because a person has never used their faith to get anything doesn't give them the right to deny you to use your faith, the God-given process, to get things.
That's right.
So in the body of Christ, there is anti-faith. Anti-faith. There are folk who are just against it.
Yes.
Amen. Against faith teachers, against faith message, against faith, just against it. Anti-faith. Got it? And you have to be so persuaded that you don't let them, I call them stupid people. You don't let stupid people, you know, throw you off. Amen?
Amen.
Then there are those who argue faith. And those are people who just sit up and they just argue about how faith ought to be released. Then you have those who are what I call the academic faith crowd. And those who search the Hebrew, the Greek, and the Shebrew, and they brew too. Yeah, you know, so they, you know, they all they do is study it. They never operate and they just study it. Then there are those who are of the articulate faith crowd, and those who talk good faith talk. Never do anything, but they talk a good talk. Then there's the admiration faith crowd, those who just sit back and watch other folk faith work and say, man, isn't that something? Amen. But the crowd that we're dealing with is the action crowd. The faith action crowd, those who are willing to act on the word of God. That's the crowd I'm called to. Those who are willing to step out, believing for the interim expectations of favor, of the wisdom of God, of the plan of action, miracles, and strength to endure. I mean, that's the crowd that I'm called to teach. In the Old Testament, turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. The Old Testament saints reveal that that faith was something you had to act on. They revealed their faith by their actions. Amen. They had to act. They were given instructions and they acted on them. And faith in its simplest form is simply acting on the word of God. You have to act. Amen. And so, in 2 Kings chapter 4, let's pick it up there in verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet to Elisha, saying, thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said to her, now he's getting ready to give her instructions now. Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Now here's her faith part. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her sons, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, live thou and thou of the rest. So you can see action in this. That's the point I'm reading. That, you know, she went to him saying, here's my problem. He gave her a plan of action, and she didn't stand there and say, well, why?
Amen.
Why didn't he do that? But she acted. Amen.
Amen.
Faith requires some action. Of course, there are other stories in the Bible. Of course, you can just pick any story in the Bible. Really, Joshua was given the instructions on how to take Jericho, to walk around the city so many days every day. One time every day for so many days, and then so many times on the final day. Got it? And the people were not to open their mouths until the last day.
Amen.
And they followed the instructions. Now, I don't know why believers find it so difficult to follow instruction. I think it's the get over mentality that we bring into the kingdom of God. You know, you grew up in life with a get over mentality. So you come into the kingdom of God with a get over mentality, thinking that God's going to cut you a side deal. Oh yeah, you see what the Bible says, but you're going to do something other than that. And then expect results. Doesn't happen like that. In order to operate in faith, you've got to have the discipline to obey the word of God. Either the Logos word of God, the written word of God, or the Rhema, what God specifically tells you to do. But you have to do it. Amen? Now, turn to Mark chapter 5, because in the New Testament, we see saints revealing their faith again by their actions. So let's look at Mark chapter 5. There has to be some corresponding action. So I don't sit around and diminish faith and diminish faith to some mental exercise. It's more than that. It is an action. It requires bold, determined action in agreement with what you believe. Bold, determined action in agreement with what you're confessing and what you're believing. Amen. Everybody say bold action. Hallelujah. All right, there in Mark chapter 5, I want to pick up a little story that's kind of very common to us here. We've seen it before. Verse 25 says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus," faith comes by what? Amen. All right. "Came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said," as a confession, if I may touch but his clothes, "I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou seest, who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." So here's a woman who put some action with what she believed. She heard about Jesus healing people. She said in her mouth, out of her mouth, "If I touch but his clothes, I'll be made whole." And then she put some determined action. She pressed her way through the crowd. She didn't give up because everybody didn't get out of the way and let her walk through and touch Jesus. Amen? See, that's one reason why many people never get faith results is because they give up too quick. Amen. Now, of course, there's a story in Mark chapter 2 of the four men that brought their friend to Jesus. They couldn't get him into the front of the door because of the crowd that was around. They didn't give up. They had this bold, determined action. Climbed up on the roof, tore up the roof, and let the man down in front of Jesus on a cot. And the Bible says, and when he saw their faith, he saw some action. Amen. Amen. So I got to understand that it requires faith. God kind of faith requires some action. Determined action. Everybody say determined action. Determined. Now, manifestations follows obedience. Determined action causes manifestations, and the manifestations are really the what I call the interim expectations, and that is when I'm in faith, I gotta act on these expectations. Now, let's go back on the expectations. Wisdom. What else? We said plan of action, favor of God, miracle, strength, endure. So my action is in agreement with these expectations. I have to apply the wisdom. If I get wisdom and don't apply it, it does me no good. If I get a plan of action and don't work the plan, does me no good. If I get in miracle instructions, what the Lord says do for the miracle to be activated and don't do it, it profited me nothing. Got it? If I don't accept the favor, God raises up somebody to help me, and I say, "Oh no, I don't need no help." It does me no good. So you have to understand that in order for you to receive the promise, you have to act, and that action has to be in agreement. When the Bible talks about corresponding action, it's action in a word correspondence. It's in agreement, in line with what you believe. Amen. Now, turn with me your Bibles now to Isaiah chapter 1. Operating in faith requires obedience. It requires obedience. And the Bible says in Isaiah 1:19, go there. All right. If you be willing, then what else?
Obedient.
Obedient, what happens? Eat the good of the land. Job 36:11. Job 36:11. If you be willing and obedient, eat the good of the land. Job 36:11, a companion text, again emphasizes the importance of obedience. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in what?
Pleasure.
Obedience is critical. It's essential. It's important. You cannot get results without obedience. Amen? So I understand now, when I'm in faith, I got these expectations. But I have to act on these, act in agreement with these expectations. I get wisdom, I got to act on. Amen. I mean, I have to act. Now, we're going to get to the strength to endure, because that's really patience. And we have then the whole next lesson following this one is going to be on the partner faith, patience, the partner faith. Now, why is it difficult for folk to obey? Why is it difficult for folk to act? Bold action. And that's one aspect of faith I've not been able to teach. Can't teach people how to be bold to act. I wish I could, because that's when the results come.
That's right.
Pastors all over the country talk to me, and many times, one pastor in particular called, and he was really kind of down and that sort of thing, and because his ministry wasn't flourishing like he wanted to flourish. And I asked him, I said, well, let's do something. He said, what do you mean? I said, let's be bold. I said, weren't you trying to buy a building not too long ago? He said, yeah. I said, well, go tell the man how much money you'll give him. He said, I don't have any money. I said, you have to give it to him today.
Amen.
You have to give it to him today. And he had me agreed to sell it to you. But let's just make something happen now. You said God gave you the building, right? Yeah. Well, let's be bold. Let's go act like it's ours.
Amen.
He said, I can do that? I said, yeah.
Yes,
here's how you do it. Call the man up and tell him what you'll give him for it. Tell him you want him to finance it. Tell him how much money you're going to give him down. Ask him to drop the price from what it was before. And you serious this time.
All right.
Give yourselves 90 days or 6 months to close. Guess what? The man did it. Yeah. The man did it. Yeah. Man did it. Bold actions. See, in order to obey God, you got to be willing to act boldly, even without full and complete understanding. Never compromise integrity. Never compromise your witness, but bold action. My greatest victories have come in the midst of bold action. Bold, determined action. You know, in this, I can't do a whole lot of testifying, because I do, all my time would be gone. I have to have, in order to act boldly, acceptance from God must be my priority.
Right.
If I need acceptance from anybody else, I'll be prone to compromise.
Yes.
If I need the approval of other people, I'll be prone to compromise. Because many times, you have to take some bold action where people really understand it. You got it? And if you need acceptance from them, and they want, and acceptance from them is important to you, you'll not be bold. Number three, in order to take bold action, that you have to be willing to address every contrary thought that hinders your obedience. You have to address it. You cannot sit around and contemplate and meditate on failure. So when thoughts of failure come, you have to cast down the imagination, the scripture says. And then you have to appropriate the grace to obey even under pressure. Once you stepped out, like I said, once you, it's like the rabbit. Once you jumped up, you got to run.
Yeah.
ain't no time. Ain't no time not to run when you jump up. Once you jump, got to run. So somebody was looking at the foundation for the 5,000 seats. I said, we done jumped up now.
Amen.
We like the rabbit. We done jumped up. We got to run now. Amen. Now, to me, the lifestyle of faith is fun and exciting.
Yes.
It's fun and exciting, number one, because I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody.
Amen.
I'm enjoying the trip.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So why is it difficult for people to obey God and obey and have bold action? I think many times action may put you at odds with those from whom you need acceptance. And so you'll sit down and you'll talk with a person about what you're about to do, and they'll talk you out of it.
That's right.
They'll talk you out of it. Because you don't have to talk to this pastor. I just told him, I said, go on and do it now. He said, well, do I need to talk to my deacons? No, you need to talk to them deacons. Not now. You ain't got nothing to tell them.
That's right.
They talk to the man who owned the place.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. See, and what people do, they're going to talk to a friend. You got ready to take some bold action. You're releasing your faith for a house or something. And then you go talk to somebody, you know, who have no vision or dream for a house and who really would not want to see you get one. And they'll tell you, ain't nothing wrong with the place you're staying in, baby. That apartment is fine. Don't they keep it up? It's safe. They got a fence around it and a guard outside. Talk you out of it, and then, you know, 4 or 5 months later, they done bought them a house. You look out, you know, it may, you know, if your friends, y'all sit in the same apartment complex, then you look down the way there and they got a U-Haul backed up to their door. Number two, difficult to obey God because many times bold actions of faith will push you out your comfort zone.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. But one thing after when you operate outside your comfort zone, when you operate outside of it long enough, where you are becomes your new comfort zone. Amen. Number three, why it's difficult for people to take bold, determined action of faith is because it may call for some short-term discomfort. Amen. But see, that short-term discomfort is going to draw potential out of you. You're going to develop and grow in the process. Amen. All right. Many people have difficulty taking bold actions of faith because they are not fully persuaded on the word. And see, to take bold action, you got to be real persuaded.
Amen.
I mean, we bought the Jensen Road property. We bought it at a very difficult time in ministry. All of the natural signs looked like failure for us was imminent. Everything looked bad. The banker was talking negative. Folk weren't giving money. It was bad in the natural. And it was in that moment that God spoke to me and said, that church you've been believing for, go buy it. I had no money. But see, I've always had this problem of just believing God, being fully persuaded.
Amen.
I've always had this problem.
Amen.
That when God tells me to do something, I just go do it.
Amen.
Now, I say it's a problem because that's what pastors used to say. Here, you got a problem. You're a dreamer. You need to face reality. I said, you don't understand. My dreams are my reality. Oh, my God. Well, that'd be a good subject for you, Dr. Bree. Making your dreams your reality, since you're the dream lady. Yeah. I just believe we just ought to applaud. She's going to develop us a lesson on making dreams your reality. All right. All right, now. I think it's difficult for people to make bold, determined actions of faith because I think they are ignorant of the process. They're ignorant of the faith process. You got it? So it's difficult because they don't understand the process. Now, bold actions of faith doesn't necessarily mean that you do something odd. Like, I remember we prayed for a girl years ago and for sight. She was having, you know, we was praying for, she was not blind, but she, you know, wanted to believe God for better vision. So we prayed for her, and then she took her glasses off. Well, we didn't tell her to take her glasses off. See, she just took her glasses off. Couldn't see a lick. Was about to lose her job because she's trying to force God to do something, see. And so she called from work crying, saying they was about to fire her. And she didn't want to be out of faith, put her glass on. I said, baby, what you want? You want your job? I said, first of all, we never told you to take your glasses off. And not only that, but God didn't tell you to take your glasses off.
Yeah.
So that's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about bold action. Because we told her, look, while the process of faith is working, when that process has completed its manifestation, then you won't need the glasses. Your eyes will tell you to take them off. That's the same way it is with medicine. See, bold action doesn't mean you say, well, I bless God, I ain't going to take my insulin. He'll heal me or I'll die. In the sweet by and by. So that's not what we mean by bold action. Bold action in agreement with your faith and not some weird, wild action trying to force God to do something. Amen? Now turn to Hebrews chapter 4. It is imperative and corresponding action that we know that we have to mix the word with faith. And when the Bible talks about mixing the word with faith, it's talking about with some action. Everybody say action. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So it's talking about acting on the word. Amen. All right. Turn with me in your Bibles now to James chapter 1. We're there in Hebrews. It'll be the next book over. James chapter 1. Everybody say corresponding action. Now, it is important that I understand that I have to be willing to boldly take action. Amen. Are you there in James chapter 1? Look there in verse 22. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving your own selves. So it says, look, I can be a victim of my own self-deception if I'm hearing the word and not acting on it.
That's right. Amen.
If I am not acting on the word, if I don't have corresponding action and I'm saying I'm in faith, I have just deceived myself. Nothing's going to happen.
That's right.
Amen. So I've got to understand that when we talk about corresponding action, we're talking about works in agreement with the word of God. Some action in agreement with the word of God, in agreement with what I believe, in agreement with the end result of what I want my faith to, I believe in my faith to produce. All right. Turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Everybody say corresponding action. All right. All right. Look there in verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 17, the Amplified says, so also faith, if it does not have works, deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power, inoperative and dead. So if I'm in faith, it's just not a mental exercise.
Amen.
Got it? And it goes beyond me just talking it. Where's my action to back it up?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, okay. Turn with me in your Bibles. And let's look at something else here, because I want to show you something in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I have no expectation, no justifiable expectation for results until I've done something.
Amen.
Verse 36 says, well, I'll start verse 35. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of what?
Patience.
That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. I got to do something. Everybody say, I got
to do something.
So if I am in faith, I ought to have some bold, determined action that's in agreement with my confession. Amen. So I ought not just be talking. There ought to be something else I'm doing. Now, so what should I do? Three things. My corresponding action should be maintaining corresponding thoughts in agreement with what I'm confessing. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn that with me, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, management of my thought life is critical, because if I don't manage my thought life and keep my thoughts in agreement with what I'm believing, I'll let logic, reasoning, and circumstance overrule my faith. So one of the things I got to do is I got to keep my thought life in order. And really, keeping your thought life in order, the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians, are you there? Chapter 10, we'll just see this. I mean, that's real critical. Because see, that's where the devil attacks you. The devil does not show up in a pitchfork with a pitchfork red suit, but he attacks you in your thought life. So just to assure you begin to declare your faith and you take bold actions, the devil comes back and he counters that with, what? What you say you're going to do? You say you're going to move. Move where? You don't want to move. You barely made your note here. Well, I can talk about moving because I got to get my faith built up.
That's right.
I can even go looking. I ain't saying I'm going to buy it tomorrow.
That's right.
But I can get my faith working on it, so when it's time to move,
right,
you know, my financial status has improved.
Amen.
Amen. So you got to keep your thought alive. That's why the fight of faith is. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So I got to understand that, hey, I got to keep my thought life in order. Amen. Bible talks about Abraham. He was strong in faith. Turn to Romans chapter 4. He was strong in faith because he kept his thought life in check.
Amen.
And that's corresponding action. Are you thinking in agreement with what you're saying?
That's right. Amen.
Because you can't behave right until you start thinking right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, Romans chapter 4. Are you there? Well, watch this. Look there with me in verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was out 100 years old, neither yet dead self womb. He read that real fast, didn't he? Look at verse 19 again. And being not weak in faith, he did what? He considered not his own body now dead. He considered not. He chose to manage his thought life.
Amen.
And in tough times, you got to choose to manage your thought life, to keep your thoughts in agreement with what God's word says and not what circumstances look like.
Amen.
Circumstances will pull you into the bottomless pit of despair if you allow them to. All right, next thing you have to do is you have to maintain corresponding talking. Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast to the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So I got to make sure what I'm speaking. I don't let difficult times cause me to compromise my faith confession. God doesn't need a way out. He doesn't need you to cop out, give him a way out. Well, I guess it wasn't the Lord's will for me. According to your faith, be it unto you.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. So I got to speak in agreement with what I believe. And then I must be clear when I understand, when I'm speaking in agreement with what I believe over and against what I see, that I know I'm not in denial. I see what's going on purpose. I'm choosing to release faith.
That's right.
So I'm not in denial. Yeah, I ain't got a dime in my pocket. Got it? So by me saying, you know, my God supplies all my needs, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, I'm not in denial. I know I ain't got no money. That's why I'm saying this. Because I need more than natural help. I need some supernatural help. Got it? So when people come and say, well, you just in denial. You over there, they done brainwashed you. Well, your brain did get washed. All that unbelief got washed out. That is true. You understand? Because you know, people, you brainwash people. That's right. That's right. That's right. With the word, we wash all that unbelief that you picked up in religion so you can start looking at the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. So I see, I believe that it's a good thing in the middle of the tough times of faith. Got it? And then at the onset of your faith fight, that you just make a list of all the things that you need to overcome. You know, if it's in an area of sickness and health, right, all the symptoms now. Got it? If it's an area of finances, every bill that's past due, all of them. Got it? And as you're releasing your faith and your faith start working, then you start scratching them off.
That's right.
And then, look, when you get ready, when the devil attacks your mind with the doubt and unbelief part, you hold it, hold up your paper and say, oh, look at here. It is working. That's, that one's being paid off. Hey, I don't have this headache anymore. I don't get to swimming in the head anymore. Got it? So you want to be engaged in self-talk, talking to yourself, corresponding action, and you want to be able to talk to every thought of doubt and unbelief.
Right.
Amen and amen. Then finally, you want to have action that I call corresponding task in agreement. Things that you do in agreement with what you're believing. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now your actions should never compromise your integrity or your Christian witness. So that means that you don't go forth and scheme and all that sort of thing to get something.
Amen.
Your actions should respect the natural order of acquisition of the thing. The natural order has to be respected first. Now, so you can get so super spiritual that you won't get up and go look for a job. Hallelujah, glory to God. All right, look there in verse 4-6. It says, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. So it says, look, the natural is first. Amen. So what in the natural would you do first to acquire the thing you're believing for? You can't find a job laying up. Favor can't come to get the job if you haven't filled out the application.
Right.
Can't fill out the application till you go looking.
That's right.
You're bleeding for a car, you won't go look for a car.
Amen.
What is the natural process? Because I'm going to start out in the natural expecting the supernatural to intervene.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, your actions should always be relative to the development of your faith, level of your faith. Amen. So my actions ought to be relative to that. See, if I'm believing for a car, you know, my ultimate car, you know, may be a Mercedes. But I may not have Mercedes faith now.
That's right.
So I got to decide, am I going to walk till I get a Mercedes? Would be wise. I advise you to go get you another car that your faith can produce. Keeping your faith on the Mercedes.
That's right.
And eventually you'll get there.
Amen.
You got it? Amen. All right, now, so your actions, you know, so that's just like taking medicine. I mean, I can confess the word of God a whole lot easier without my pounding headache. Because I understand the medicine's working on the symptoms. My faith is working on the cause.
That's right.
So I take my medicine. Drank my water, and by his stripes, I'm healed.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. It's better than grimacing through pain. By his stripes. Take the medicine. Action should be with diligence and persistence. The Bible says he's the rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. So my actions ought to be diligent and with diligence and persistence. You know, no is not no forever.
Amen. Amen.
No is only no for right now.
That's right.
Now, if you can adopt that and understand no is never no forever. No is just no today.
That's right.
I stand in faith. Dr. Bridget and I were standing in faith for a house. Got turned down 20 times. 20 times. No, 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 no. I didn't count them all, but then 20, you add the rest of them. Didn't bother me one bit. I know my yes is out there.
Amen.
It's got to be persistent. If you know you're founded on what God's word says, the Bible says he is the rewarder of them that diligently
seek him.
So my actions should be in agreement with godliness and holiness.
Amen.
Amen. Because the Bible says my sin can cause things to be withheld and withholding from me. So I want to make sure I ain't in sin. I don't have any sin. And my actions are with godliness and holiness. And my actions, you know, ought to be out of the right motive.
That's right.
Motive needs to be pure. He gives me richly all things to enjoy, not to show off.
That's right.
Amen. My actions should also be modeled after the testimonies of others. Hebrews chapter 6, turn there, verse 12. My actions can be modeled after the testimonies of successful others. I think you need to put successful in there. Yeah, successful others, not just others. Yes, successful others. All right, look there in verse, what did I tell you? Chapter 6, verse 12. That you be not slothful, but what? Followers of them. Now, the word followers mean, this comes from a Greek word that means to imitate. So it says, look, I want you to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So I want to know how somebody else used their faith to get what they got. You tell me, because I'm going to imitate how you applied the principle.
Amen.
Got it? This church is a product of that scripture.
That's right. Amen.
I went to my mentor and found out in principle how he did it, how Crenshaw was built. And I took the same principles and came back and imitated how he applied the principle. Didn't imitate him and his personality, because we have two different personalities.
Right.
You got it? But how he applied the principle. Because faith is a law. It will work for whomever will work it.
Amen.
That is why testimonies are so important. And that's why I give testimonies a lot of time. Because see, you may be in the process now of believing for a house, a home. And then they turn you down. You only had two no's. Then you hear, I had 20 and still got mine.
That's right, man.
So you go, I got 18 more to go. I ain't giving up now. Got it? I give the testimony about my cars, you understand? And the reason I do that is because the Bible says you need to follow those who through faith and patience have inherited their promises.
Right.
Well, if I don't tell you how it happened, how you going to know how to work the principle?
Amen. That's right.
Amen. And, you know, I told you, I went through some tough times with raggedy cars.
Amen.
Drove a lot of raggedy cars. Amen. Persevered through them. Don't drive raggedy cars anymore, though. I've inherited the promises. See, really, if you're intelligent, you don't throw rocks at successful people. You study them to find out what principle they use to get there. In the kingdom of God, you ought to really study them and applaud them, because whatever principle will work for one man, it will work for another. Because God is not a respecter of persons. Amen. So I want to look at successful others. I study successful others. Amen. Because I know faith, it requires some action. Amen. And when you act on the word of God with bold action, you can be assured that you'll get results. See, and that takes a shift in your thinking. Because you've been taught not to act unless certain factors, you know, have been satisfied in your thinking. When Jesus told the lepers, lepers came to him, and he just told them, go show yourselves to the high priest. And at the moment he told them to go show themselves, leprosy was still on them. They had to be bold enough to say, Jesus said, let's act like we're healed. So come on, let's go act like we're healed. Because you weren't supposed to go to the priest unless you was healed. And he would write you a clean bill of health from leprosy. So they had to boldly believe enough in the word of God that somehow between now and when we get there, everything going to be all right. And that's all you got, a purpose in your heart. You don't know how it's going to happen now. But you're going to start now believing for the promise of God. If you're broke and ain't got any money and you see in the word of God the blessing of the Lord making you rich, right now you're going to start believing for rich.
Amen.
You ain't got nothing to lose, you're broke now anyway. And somewhere between now and sometime in the future, rich is going to happen. I'm out of time. Amen. Dr. Richard.